chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is going to be a study of the subject more than anything, and it should be of great interest to you, and I hope the Lord will bless it. I hope it will be beneficial to you. Mark 11, verse 24. Our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says to His disciples, He says, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's puzzling, isn't it? That's puzzling, but the Lord promises that. And I asked the question this morning, and I'll ask it again this evening. Hope the Lord will answer it for us. Do your prayers go unanswered? How often do you pray and pray for something? Even beg God for something, and He doesn't seem to hear you. Certainly doesn't answer you. Has that happened to anybody here? Anybody experienced that? I have. I do. Pray and pray and beseech God for something you think is worthwhile. And He doesn't seem to hear. And certainly doesn't answer you. Why? Why? Why doesn't He give us the things we're asking for? We read that scripture there. It seems to say that He'll give us what we're asking for. Listen, we're not alone. I want you to listen to David. Let me just go through a few select psalms. And I had trouble a while ago picking out a scripture, a psalm to read with that in mind. David pouring out his heart, because nearly every one of them are. So I had to pick just one. I wanted to read them all, but listen to this. Listen to David. Now, this is a man after God's own heart. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Listen to this one. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Listen to this one. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Consider and hear me, Lord. Listen to this one. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Listen to this one. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Don't be silent to me. Lest if you be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. Listen to this one. Psalm 42. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been meat and my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's your God? Where's your help? Can He do the things you're asking for? When I remember these things, I pour my soul out in me. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in you? Hope in God. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Listen to this one, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Hear me. My heart is sore pained within me. Listen to this one. Just on and on and on. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth I'll cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. Listen to this one. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming into my soul. I'm sinking. I'm going down. I'm sinking. I'm weary of my crying. I'm tired of praying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Listen to this one. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Hurry up and hear me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Listen to this one. Just on and on and on. I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And my eyes ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God. That is, I remembered to pray to God, and I was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyes waking, can't sleep. I'm so troubled, I can't speak. Anybody been through that? Any of this? Just one person. Why doesn't God hear us? Why doesn't He hear us when we ask for something in prayer? Why doesn't He give us the things we are asking for? Well, first of all, because God's not obligated to give us anything. He's as plain as that. He doesn't have to give us anything. We don't deserve anything. Barnard used to say, anything this side of hell is mercy. And the older I get, the more I see how true that is. Anything from God's hand, any blessing this side of hell is mercy that we don't deserve. We don't deserve anything from God's hand, and we have to admit, if we're honest, He's given us a lot more than we deserve already. A lot more. And perhaps part of our problem is we have so much that we're not content with what we have. Is that right? I know it is with this man. Secondly, not only is God not obligated to give us anything, He doesn't even have to hear us. I say this as a man, but God is working. He doesn't have to stop and take the time to hear us, does He? The psalmist, he said this, what is man that you're even mindful of him? Rick, why should God stop and pay attention to me? We don't pay much attention to Him. Do we? Not much. It's kind of like, if I were to call the President of the United States one day, call him up, and if somehow I was, his secretary answered the phone, I said, I'd like to speak to the President. Well, who are you? I'm Paul Mahan. Who? Well, I'm Paul Mahan. I'd like to speak to the President. Why? Click. God, hear me. Why should I? Who are you? What have you done? Is that not right? Is that not right? But, you say, the Scriptures seem to promise. The Scriptures are full of promises that say that God will hear us and answer our prayer. We just read one. And it says that even God will give us what we ask for. We'll turn over to James chapter 4 with you. Let's look at this for a few minutes. James chapter 4. Now, I confess that there have been many times that I've begged and begged God for something, and when He didn't seem to answer me, and and certainly didn't give me what I was asking for, that I got real frustrated. And if you're honest, you'll be the same. You'll say the same thing. Even mad. Have you? Come on now. Well, you're not alone in that either. Jonah did. He got mad because God wouldn't destroy a city. Made him look foolish. He went out and said, God's going to destroy you. And God gave them repentance, and they turned, and God had mercy on them. Jonah got mad, made him look bad. Elijah did the same thing. Said, I might as well be dead. Job said it. I wish I'd never been born. Got mad. Well, look at James chapter 4, verse 1. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Where all your problems come from? Where all our troubles and problems come from, by the way? We blame this on God? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? Where do our problems come from? Me. Me. I am my problem. I am my biggest problem. God's on the throne. I'm in the dirt. I am my biggest problem. Why are we always so torn up and troubled? Because of flesh and sin and self. Me. Me. Paul said, there's an old man inside me that's warring, that's at war with me. Somebody used this illustration. It's like two men living in the same house. One lives on the third floor and one lives on, it's a three-story house. One lives on the third floor, one lives on the first floor, and every now and then they'll meet on the second floor and have a fight. And then they'll go back to where they came from. Is it that way with you? I mean a battle, a knockdown, drag out, and then they go back to their respective places. Look at this. He says, you lust and have not, you kill. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, isn't it? And we're right in the midst of it. Desire to have, working, striving, can't get it, can't obtain it. You fight and you war. Oh, I want this so bad, yet you have not. Look at these four words. Because you ask not. We have not because most of the time we don't ask. We just fuss. We just fuss. And David, if we'd study it, we'd see how David pouring out his complaint. My soul, how do we have the right to complain about anything? We just fuss. Our mouths, we're guilty, aren't we? We're just full, most of the time, full of murmuring and complaining, aren't we? Very little thanksgiving. We'll get to that in a minute. And when we do ask, when we do get around to acknowledging God, to asking Him for something, it's generally out of frustration. And it's really just for our own sake, for our own lust, our own ease, and our own comfort. Did you hear what He said there? He said, you have not because you ask not. Now, be honest before God. God knows, we studied it this morning, God knows our heart. We can say all we will in front of one another. How many in here really pray with any regularity? Be honest now. Do you know that prayer is commanded? It's not only a privilege, but it's a command for the believer. Yet few really do. Few believers make use of the means that God has given us, the means of grace. All the comfort, all the peace, all the hope, the encouragement, the directions in our life are found right here and in communion with God. And these things gather dust, and our voices are rarely heard, except every now and then cry out in our trouble. Is that right? Isn't that right? You know, prayer is commanded, but you think about how absurd this is. You think of how absurd this is. It's kind of like a hospital issuing orders to sick people to come. Now, y'all better get down here. You got pneumonia. But men and women need to be commanded to seek the Lord, or they'll refuse and they'll just die in their sins. When the remedy is, the word is near you, right in your mouth, he said. It's near you, right on your coffee table. Kind of like little children, aren't we, who need to be prodded. Now, honey, just come to Daddy. If you got problems, just come to me and tell me about it. And the older they get, the worse it is, isn't it? Start clamming up and won't confide in Mom and Dad, you know. No, start knowing something. Well, why don't we pray? Let me give you some reasons why we don't pray. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. First of all, worldliness keeps us from praying. Like I said a moment ago, we give our strength to the world. We give 99.9% of our day to the world and 0.1% to God. Don't we? We give our strength to the world, all our time and energy and efforts. We give our sickness to God, don't we? We give our troubles to God. You know what I'm saying. I'm speaking as a man. We give the first fruits to this world when God demands first fruits. First thing in the morning, thank you, God, for that night's rest. Oh, no, we wake up, what am I going to do now? And we get in trouble or something, we need something. Oh, God, isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it is? Why should he hear us? Hours for the world, minutes to God. Worldliness. Sin is another reason why we don't pray. Sin. This could be your case. It has been at one time, probably. It has been mine. It still is. Satan tells you, you're too sinful. God's not going to hear you. Did you think about what you were just thinking, man? Think about what you just did. God's not going to hear you. Why, you hypocrite. Oh, boy, that's the time when we need to go, don't we? That's the time we need to go. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he's loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin. And he tells us, he says, call unto me and I'll answer you. Call unto me. Why don't we pray? Worldliness, sin, unbelief. Listen to me, please. This is necessary. This is vital. This is beneficial. Unbelief is another reason why we don't pray. Unbelief. If you're honest with yourself, you have to say this. I just don't believe God's going to hear me. I certainly don't believe he's going to give me so I'm just not going to ask. Have you ever reached that point? Most of the time we don't know what to pray for. And most of the time we think God's not concerned anyway with our little problems here and there. Small things. Well, look at this over in Philippians chapter 4. Look at it. Philippians chapter 4. Rick and I were discussing these things the other night. This scripture came to mind. Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't put anything off. But in everything, Philippians 4, 6, in everything by prayer and supplication. And here's the key, with thanksgiving, first of all. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In everything. In everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Don't lean on the arm of the flesh for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, begin it with that. Let your request be made known to God. Well, you know, since we don't believe most of the time that God will hear us, much less answer us, most of the time we pray like this, don't we? Lord, oh, what's the use? Have you ever done that? Do you do that? Oh, what's the use? But he says, we're commanded anyway. And this is a struggling. You know, Jacob wrestled with the Lord and said, call on me. Listen to all these scriptures. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. You people, pour out your heart before him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Pray without ceasing. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Continue in prayer, and so forth. Scripture after scripture after scripture that command us, like little children, we have to be commanded to come to him. Don't stop. Come on. Pray to him. Well, you say, I do pray. I do pray, but God never gives me what I ask for. I do pray, but he doesn't give me what I ask for. Well, what are we asking for? And this is what I wanted to get to. What are we asking for? And here's some reasons for unanswered prayer. Look at James chapter 4 again. Back to James chapter 4. Reasons for unanswered prayer. Look at James chapter 4, verse 3. James 4, verse 3. He says, you ask. Oh, you do ask occasionally. And you receive not. Because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust, your own desires, your own self. What you're asking for generally is for your own self, not God's glory. For your own self. We need to ask ourselves every time we stop to pray, every time we ask for something. And there's nothing wrong with asking. We just read in Philippians 4, let your needs, your petitions be known to God. Supplication, pleading with him for something. We need to ask ourselves this. What we're praying for, is it a need? Is it something I really need? Or just a desire? Just a covetous desire? Well, listen to this, and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. If you're interested in having your prayers answered, bear with me. 1 John chapter 5. Christ said, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I'll do it. Didn't he? He said that. He promised. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And this is what John says in 1 John 5, verse 14. He says, this is the confidence that we have concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. Well, listen, to ask something in the name and the will of Christ is to ask in the same attitude as Christ. The same mind, the same desire as our Lord had. The apostle said, let this mind be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you, dwell in you richly. What was the mind of Christ? What did he pray for? Huh? What did he pray for? He said, not my will be done. Not what I want. I want what you want. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's my desire. And he meant it, didn't he? Christ never prayed for his own benefit. He didn't. One time, for our sakes, that we might know what he was going through in the garden, it was recorded. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, he was quick to add, not my will, but thy will be done. He never asked the Father for anything strictly for his own benefit. He never used miracles. He never did anything of the sort for his own relief. He didn't do it. But he always had the glory of God in mind, didn't he, Terry? Always. I always delight to do the will of the Father. And I always do those things that please my Heavenly Father. So to pray in the will of Christ and in the mind of Christ is first and foremost wanting only God's glory. Wanting only God's glory. Not my relief. First now. And it's wanting only what will make me conformable to His will and to His image. Look how He bids us to pray in Matthew 7. Everybody knows it, or Matthew 6. Everybody can quote this, even little children, the so-called Lord's Prayer. Well, look what He bids us to pray for. Look at this. There's only one material thing He asks for in there. Bread. Just bread. Food and raiment. Didn't it? Look at Matthew 6, verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray. This is the way you're to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed holy be thy name. O sovereign God, you're on the throne. Thy kingdom come, and it will. And your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what I want more than anything. Your will to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. That's all we need. That's all we need. Give us this day our daily bread. But we do need forgiveness of our debts, our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. In another place it says, if you're not showing mercy to someone else, God's not going to hear you. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. There's nothing in that prayer but praise, thanksgiving, repentance, and one petition for daily bread, isn't it? One petition. Well, why don't our prayers get answered? Well, most of all, like James said, you ask amiss, consume it upon your own lust. Secondly, unbelief. I said that before. Look at James chapter 1. Like I said, this is a study, and we've got to search the Scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 6. Look at this. This is why men don't pray and aren't heard when they do, is unbelief. Verse 6. He says, Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let me illustrate this. Kind of like my child. I say, honey, I'm going to take you to the circus. Thursday at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to take you to the circus. Well, Tuesday rolls around. Daddy, are you sure you're going to take me? Yes, I told you I would. I'm going to take you. Wednesday rolls around. Daddy, no, come on. You sure you're going to have time? Yes, honey. Wednesday night rolls around. I just don't believe, Dad. I just don't believe you're going to take me. Thursday morning rolls up. She's laying in bed. Come on, honey, let's go. Oh, you're not going to take me. Unbelief. So finally, okay, I won't take you. I'm not going to do it then. You don't take me at my word, you don't believe me, forget it. Go on your way. Just forget it then. Indefinite desire is a reason for unanswered prayer. Listen to this. Prayer is mostly praise, like our Lord taught us just now to pray. Mostly praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. It's mostly praise. But it's also asking for petitions. It is now. He told Solomon, ask me what you desire and I'll give it to you. Ask me. Well, indefinite desires will get you nothing. It's kind of like an archer, a marksman, just taking a bow, taking his bow in an arrow and just shooting it up in the sky. Not aiming at anything. What's he hope to accomplish? You understand? You see what I'm saying? We need to have definite desires. Definite desires. Fourthly, another reason for unanswered prayer. Insincerity. Insincerity. Are our prayers heart prayers are just head prayers, little duty we go through. It's time to pray. I'm told to pray. I'm commanded to pray, so I'm going to pray. Or is it a heart pleading, a real heart prayer? Or do we feel a need, or are we just reciting some words? And do we really want what we're asking for? Listen to it now. Some people really don't want what they're asking for. Like this, like a total change in commitment. Lord, make me like Christ. Make me like Christ. I want a total change in commitment. And then run right out pursuing after something else. He didn't mean that. Do you really want to be made like Christ? That is the offscouring of the earth, hated by all men for His name's sake, even your father, your mother, your wife, your husband. You really want that now? Well, maybe I was a little hasty. Insincerity. Coldness. We can't expect a prayer to touch God's heart that doesn't touch ours. Running into God's presence, just running up. Like I get sick of these little, seeing these people offer their little two-bit petitions at dinner tables, out in the restaurants and so forth. You've seen them, hadn't you? Sit down, they kind of look around, see who's watching them. Don't they? I get sick of that. You think that bounced off the, you think that got anywhere past the ceiling? We're guilty of the same thing, though, aren't we? Well, listen. The text, Mark 11. Back to the text. Mark 11, chapter 24. Believing and receiving. That's praying. Let's look at believing and receiving. He says, therefore, I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Listen to this. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To be heard, there are some things we must believe. Listen. Christ said, according to your faith, so be it unto you, didn't He? There's a direct connection between faith and answered prayer. I don't have the answers necessarily, but I just know it's so. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. He said in another place, if you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Well, that scripture I just quoted out of Hebrews. Them that come to God must first believe that He is. Well, this is a basic belief. We must first believe that God is God. We can't ask something of an impotent God. We got to come to the God, the God of all glory, God that's on the throne, the sovereign God. He's the one that's in control of all things. He's the one in whose hands our breath is and are all our ways. He's the only one that has the ability to do the power and the will to do all things for us. We must believe that Christ is our only acceptance with God, that He's our only mediator, He's our only righteousness, He's our only hope, He's the only one we can pray to. We've got to believe that. This is foundational truth, and I believe everyone in here understands that and believes that we've got, that Christ is all and in all, and we dare not approach unto this holy God except through Christ, Him alone. But we've got to believe God's able, too. The Scriptures, listen to all these Scriptures. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With God, all things are possible. All things? Yeah, all things. Listen to this. Being fully persuaded that what God has promised, He's able to do it. He's able also to perform. Listen to this one. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we even ask or even think about. Somebody said this, ask great things of God. He's a great God. It's kind of like me being reluctant to go down and get a glass of water out of the ocean. I'm afraid I might deplete it. That's what it is, asking anything of God. He talked about mountains. In this very passage, he talked about moving mountains, didn't he? We got to believe too that God's willing. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. In my name, I'll do it. Let's don't think for a minute that God won't answer prayer. Oh, He answers prayer. We have had some prayers answered, haven't we? We have. God is love and mercy and grace. How could He refuse? Turn over to Matthew 7. I love this verse, this passage of Scripture. I love this. Matthew 7. How could God refuse to help those that He loves? How could He? Barbara. His children. He sent His Son to die for us. How can He refuse? Oh, no. He delights to show mercy. And I tell you what, He must. His character, His faithfulness. If we don't believe, the apostle said in Timothy, if we don't believe, yet He abides faithful. He continues to bless us. Even when we don't believe, He will. And He has to accept that which He provides, doesn't He? He does. His character demands it. And I tell you what, He has ordained. He's ordained the reading of the Word and prayer to bless us by. And He'll do it. He'll do it. Ask, verse 7, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The problem is we're just not doing it. That is the biggest problem. It really is now. It really is. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's a definite promise. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, what man is there of you? If his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Did you notice what he asked for, though? Just something what he needed. Bread. He didn't say a new car. He said bread. Deborah, if one of your children asks you for something to eat, my soul, you'll fix them the biggest feast they ever had, won't you? What are we asking for? That's the key, isn't it? If he asks a fish, something to eat, something necessary, meat and potatoes, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? What good things? The Holy Spirit. The things of God. That's what he said. What's good about this world? It's perishing, right? We have very little need of these things. We think we do, but we have very little need of them. He that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, just gave his son, apple of his eye, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Necessary, that is. Listen to this. Note this. If he heard our cry for mercy when we were enemies of his, won't he hear us now that we're sons? Yeah, you better believe it. You better believe it. And this, we've got to believe this now. This is maybe the key to it all. Listen. We've got to believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Listen to this. He must believe that God will do what's right. Oh, this is so important. We've got to believe, and I'll go on to illustrate this in a minute. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Huh? He's infinitely wiser than we are, isn't he? Oh, he knows what to do. And we're like little babies. You know, your children, they've asked for so many things, and if you gave it to them, it hurt them. Things that would hurt them, so you withhold them. Rick and I were talking about this. We got a kick out of this. How about sometimes when your child, some of your older children, when they ask this, Dad, can I go over to Johnny's and spend the night? And you know that Johnny's a little child of the devil. You know it's a bad place to be and you don't want that kid over there. You don't want him to go over there. Dad, can I go over to Johnny's house and spend the night? Sit there reading the paper. You don't answer him. Have you ever done that? You just refuse to answer. Dad! Dad! No. You know, you don't need to give him an answer. You know what's best. He doesn't know. Right? He's not capable of understanding. He doesn't know. And that's what we've got to believe about God. Shall he not do what's right? Shall he not do what's right? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Thank God for what he's done. Well, listen to this. Don't go to God in prayer having already made up your mind about it. Don't do that. Already made up your mind. What you going to do? You know, you've got it all planned out. You've got it mapped out what you're going to do tomorrow. Oh, I was supposed to ask God about this. Then you go ask him. That's like the disciples. Remember when the apostles, when Judas killed himself, the apostles, they found them two fellas. And then they came to the Lord and said, which one of these do you choose? God didn't choose either one of them. He was waiting. He was had Apostle Paul in mind. Didn't it? But no, they'd come. They'd already chosen before they even asked God about it. And we do that, don't we? Yeah, we do. But listen to this, and I'll sum this thing up. How do we pray to be heard then and receive those things that we desire? How? First of all, we pray with the mind of Christ, not my will. Lord, I really don't know what to pray. But not my will be done. Not my will be done. I want what gets God the most glory, even if it costs me denying myself. Even if it costs me that which is dear to me. And if we pray in this way, somehow or another, well, listen to me. I'll give you an illustration of that. Praying in the Word. Submitting to the will of God. My wife, she wanted a child for so badly. You know, women have this are born with this motherly instinct to have a child. I think all women are born with it. It's God-given. She wanted a child so bad, so bad. She said from a little child, all she wanted to be was a mommy. A mommy. Well, she wanted a child so bad, we went 5 years without having a child. And she was torn up about it. She kept praying. She said she prayed and prayed and got bitter, got angry and prayed and begged and pleaded and asked God and asked God. And he wouldn't give us a child. Well, she said there finally came a day when she felt like the Lord spoke to her through various different means, the word, the preaching, and so forth. And he gave her finally peace and contentment about her situation. Be content in whatsoever state you're in. Learn, he said. She said finally she reached the point where she felt like, well, God will do what's right. He knows what he's doing. If he wants me to have a child, I'd have a child. If he wanted me to have a child, I'd have a child. So he just doesn't want me to have a child, so that's fine with me. She conceived. Now, you take that for what it's worth. But it happened. It happened. Pray with the mind of Christ. Pray fervently. The effectual fervent prayer. Prayer is from our heart to God's heart. Cold prayer, Spurgeon said, invites denial. It's better to have a heart without words than words without heart. Pray for particulars. Examine what you need, and if it's in keeping with the will of God, then ask for it specifically, even temporal things. Lord, I just believe that this could work out for your glory. But you know better, but this is what I think. But Lord, show me. Show me. Somebody said this too, stick with the job till it's finished. Pray until you receive an answer, or at least you're convinced you don't need it. And pray believing, trusting God's wisdom and His goodness, and believing that He knows what's best. Well, let me get down to brass tacks here. I got to hurry. What do I really want? This is what we really need to ask ourselves in prayer. About this thing of prayer. What do I really want from God? Well, believing prayer, true prayer of faith, never asks for more than it really needs. Never. And it never asks for more than is promised. True believing prayer. Salvation? Do you want salvation? You've got it. It's yours.
the one thing needful.
To love Christ, to win Christ and be found in Him, you've got her. She's yours, Job. Christ is yours. To love and desire and diligently desire His Word, you'll get it. He's promised. To love God's people and be loved by them, it's yours. It's good as done. A new car? No. A new house? No. It's not in there. Food and raiment? Yeah. Yeah, you'll get that. You see what I'm saying? You see what the Word is saying there? Riches, honor, fame? Forget it. Forget it. David prayed, keep me from those things, lest I forget God. But keep me from poverty, lest I steal. And I ask you this, I ask myself this, what do we really want from God as a church? I ask this as a group, as a collective group. What do we want from God as a church? And I need to ask myself that. Sitting there a while ago, I have to admit now, I was a little disappointed in number. There's certain people aren't here and so forth. Well, what do I want?